From the Radio Catskill Studios in Liberty, New York, this is Farm and Country. I'm your host, Kimberly Izar. It's Saturday, December 13th. And it is also the day before the first night of Hanukkah. And so this week, we are heading to Avragalach Hemesha, a Jewish bakery in Monticello, to learn how they make sufganiyot and ragalach.
One is flaky, one is softer. So the flaky dough is more like a crunchy, crispy, with sugar inside and powdered sugar on top. So like you bite into it and like you feel the crisp.
Plus, what's new at the Outside Institute in Berryville? We chat with Laura Chavez-Silverman and get a holiday tour of her retail space. It's going to be a fun show today. All of that and Keith Hubbard's Star Talk report. But first, news from NPR.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Belarus has released more than 120 prisoners. A U.S. statement says they include the Nobel Peace Prize laureate Alice Beliatsky. The release in exchange for sanctions relief follows negotiations with an envoy for President Trump. Meanwhile, international human rights groups are condemning the reported arrest of another Peace Prize laureate, Narges Mohammadi, in Iran. Here's NPR's Jackie Northam.
53-year-old Narges Mohammadi is widely known for her fight for women's rights and democracy in Iran. She was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in 2023 while she was incarcerated at Iran's notorious Evin prison. A year ago, the Iranian authorities granted Mohammadi temporary leave from her 13-year sentence for health reasons. Her supporters say Mohammadi was at a memorial for a human rights lawyer when police rearrested her. It's unclear whether she will be returned to prison.
The Nobel Committee is calling on Iranian authorities to clarify Mohammadi's whereabouts. Iran has not confirmed the arrest. U.S. military will host an international conference in Qatar next week. Its aim is to plan the force that will be deployed in Gaza in the next stage of the Hamas-Israel ceasefire. Jerome Sokolowski reports from Tel Aviv.
A U.S. official not authorized to speak publicly says the conference will meet on Tuesday in the Qatari capital Doha, and more than 25 countries will be there. It's being convened by the U.S. Central Command, which coordinates military activities with allies in the Middle East. The official says countries won't be expected to commit troops at this conference to the international force. That force will monitor compliance with the ceasefire between Hamas and Israel, which has seen numerous flare-ups and fighting since it was agreed to in October. The U.S. official says the conference will discuss the command structure and other matters related to the security force. Jerome Sokolowski, NPR News, Tel Aviv.
The week on Wall Street, dominated by the Federal Reserve and worries about the tech bubble. As NPR's Maria Aspen reports, all three major U.S. stock markets were down on Friday.
The Federal Reserve cut interest rates again, as widely expected, and said it's entering wait-and-see mode about the economy. Investors responded by sending the Dow and the S&P 500 to record highs on Thursday. It was a good week for non-tech stocks, like United Health Group and Johnson & Johnson. But the big tech companies that have been dominating the markets sparked more fears about an AI bubble. Shares in chipmaker Broadcom plunged, as did shares in Oracle, Larry Ellison's cloud computing company. Ellison's family is also trying to buy Warner Brothers Discovery. He ended the week billions of dollars poorer on paper, though he's still one of the wealthiest people in the world. Maria Aspen, NPR News, New York.
And from Washington, this is NPR News.
This is Radio Catskill. I'm Jason Dole. Sullivan County legislators are considering a major cut to next year's proposed property tax increase, potentially lowering it from 9.1% to around 3.9% following public feedback and a careful review of the county budget. Here's Sullivan County Communications Director Dan Hoost.
Nobody wants a 9.1% increase, including the very person who proposed it, County Manager Josh Potosik. Of course, it's up now to the legislature to adopt the budget. They're the elected representatives of the people, so they heard what people were saying. They also, I don't think, were ever excited about a 9.1% tax increase.
Dan Hoost also says lawmakers are exploring ways to trim the budget without cutting services or laying off staff.
They're turning over every rock, looking at every nook and cranny to see where they can trim without cutting personnel or services. Because I'm told at this point there are no layoffs or service cuts anticipated, even with the 3.9%. So we'll see how we get to that. And legislators will then make a choice. If they choose not to adopt that budget by the 20th of December, my understanding is then the proposed budget with the 9.1% tax increase would go into effect.
The full legislature will vote on the budget at their meeting on Thursday. A simple majority is required to approve it. Hoost says public input continues to be important.
I would encourage people to keep reaching out to them, because even though the formal public hearing period has ended, the legislators' ears are still working, last I knew. And eyes.
For more of the latest local news, go to WJFFradio.org. This is Radio Catskill.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Lilly Endowment, a private foundation supporting NPR's coverage of religion and spirituality, and Jarl and Pamela Mohn, focusing on civil liberties, foster youth, public radio, and the arts.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from Farm Arts Collective, located on Willow Wisp Organic Farm in Damascus, Pennsylvania. Farm Arts Collective's programs intersect the practices of farming, performance, food, and ecology. FarmArtsCollective.org. From the Community Foundation of Orange and Sullivan, a publicly supported philanthropic institution, CFOSNY.org. And from listeners like you, who donate at WJFFradio.org.
Welcome back to Farming Country. I'm Kimberly Izar. Well, it is the Saturday before the first night of Hanukkah, a celebratory 8 nights for Jewish communities around the world. And part of the festivities is the food. I mean, I'm talking rugelach, challah, and sufganiyot, all tasty pastries you might see on the table during the 8 nights of Hanukkah. Our producer, Ronald Kelson, and I headed to Rugelach Hamasha, a popular Jewish bakery in Monticello, to learn how they're preparing for the holidays. And let me tell you that when I walked into this bakery, oh my goodness, the sweet smell and just the aroma of all the pastries was like, it was intoxicating. Here is just some of what Ronald and I saw, smelled, and tasted at the bakery. That's the sound of the bakery mixer, spinning the carefully measured dough for sufganiyot, a traditional Jewish donut shaped, fried, and often filled with jelly or custards to perfection. Aga, the head baker at Rugelach Hamasha, a Jewish bakery in Monticello, says that getting the right size and temperature to fry a batch is an art.
Yeah, so the temperature has to be like somewhere between 320 to 350. If it's less, it takes longer and too much oil soaks into the donut. And if it's too much, then it burns the top, but it doesn't cook the inside.
After sufganiyot have been fried and cooled, some are even dipped in other delicious flavors that Aga says folks from all over the East Coast come for.
So we have like chocolate covered, we have like white chocolate covered, rainbow sprinkle, chocolate sprinkle, and chocolate covered with like white chocolate with black lines, black chocolate with like white lines. So like we try to make like as much variety as we could.
Is the custard dairy or parf?
So we use parf because, yes, we keep dairy completely separate, yes. For dairy, we do have like variety of selection. We have the cannoli that's like is very, very popular and very tasty. And a lot of people, actually, we have people come from like out of state. Like, yeah, people from Florida, PA, they come by and like, yo, we're here. And on our way back, we're going to like take as much as we can. Yeah, we had, I think Sunday, we had some people from Florida. They were like heading back. They're like, oh, we had to. This is like every time we come around, this is a key spot to stop. Yes.
At Rugelach Hamasha, the sweet, sugary smell of the pastries hit you the moment you walk in. Here's Aga, the head baker, giving our producer, Ronald Kelson, and I a tour.
My name is Aga. I've been baking, I was since 2012. So I started like right off high school. I graduated from SUNY Cortland with a bachelor in physics.
And when did you start this bakery?
So bakery, I started when I was in high school. So it was like, yeah, I was working as like a summer job, but then I liked the baking. So I started like doing it every time, like I would come home for the summertime. So I'll do it and then I'll go away and then I would come during like Hanukkah season to help with the donuts and everything. So yeah, 14 years of baking. Yes. Yep.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about some of the pastries that we have here.
These platters, we don't usually make it in the winter time. This is, we only make it for like Hanukkah or like big kind of celebration.
What's in it?
So this is a like sponge cake. This is a flaky dough, rogala. This is a three-color, people also call it like rainbow cake because like it's like multicolor. This is a brownie, and this is a heavy marble cake. So it depends. So this tray, it's not all the platters are the same category. So we make it like, we also make like custom. Like yesterday we had a like order of 42 of these platters for a bank. They were giving out to their customers. So we have two kinds of rogala. One is flaky, one is softer. So the flaky dough is more like a crunchy, crispy, with sugar inside and powdered sugar on top. So like you bite into it and like you feel the crisp. And then we have another very popular, that's like the softer kind of rogala. That's like the most people usually buy. That's like softer dough, sweet dough. So we have three different flavors, vanilla, cinnamon, and chocolate. So it's like more like a chewy texture.
Which one's your favorite?
I like the crispy. I like the crisp, yeah.
What else do we have here?
So basically, we try to keep as much variety as we can. We have like custard cannoli. We have Kendall. If you look here, it's like we have all kind of like danishes. This is apple, cherry, cinnamon. So basically, the base for all three is the same. It's just different topping on it. So we have custard cannoli and we have eclair. So we try to keep the cookies like loose and in container for like the kid comes in, they want a cookie. So this is like an option for them to like pick a cookie. We also have a variety of cakes. Right now it's like middle of the week, so we don't have much. So usually we aim for Friday because since it's like Shabbos, so most of our customers is like Friday and Sunday. So we try to aim it everything fresh at the end. So I don't know if you saw, like he was cutting up other things too, like babka's cockroach cake is like one of our like main mover. Because that's like more like a Haimish thing. So this is the babka, this is cockroach cake. So this we have like heavier people that likes chocolate a lot. We have a heavy babka, people that likes very light. We have option for them too. We try to keep everything like a variety. We also have like gluten-free stuff. So this is peanut gluten-free. We also have like almond gluten-free. We have mandel bread. So this is also another like people favorite mover. We have rumble, okay, no rum, just the flavor, because we have a lot of kids coming in, so we have brownie bites for the kids, so we try to keep variety for everybody. So if you come in, a lot of people like tries to rush out of here, they're like, the more we time or spend time here, the more we end up buying, because like it's so good stuff. Basically.
And what do we have back here?
So this is like basically like daily baked goods like bagels, baguette, rolls, and sweet rolls. This is for like sandwiches. We also have salad bar. So if you like say, this is mostly throughout the day, people hungry, they come in. So it's not just pastry. They could also get their like lunch from us or breakfast. We have scrambled egg for breakfast. So these are the regulars that I was telling you about. This is cinnamon. Yeah. This is cinnamon. This is chocolate vanilla. So this is basically a similar type of dough. It's just a different filling. So this is a sweet dough. We use sweet dough for it. Most of these things are made from the similar kind of dough. It's just the fillings are different. We have another thing, people that loves onion. We have onion pocket, onion board, and this is like, it's like egg cracker, like with onions on top. This is very good. Yes.
Well, I'm just curious, leading up to Hanukkah, I know that you guys have the donuts.
Yeah.
How else are you preparing?
So basically, Hanukkah is like more like the celebration of like oil. So it's like more oily stuff. So we'll have like latkes. It's like a potato pancake. Yes. So we don't make it like in the beginning because it's a lot of people didn't come yet. So throughout the next week, we'll hope to have everything. Yes. So as you see in platters. So mainly thing is the donut. So this people go crazy about donut, and we fill it up. Like most people come and they're like, oh, I got it from such and such places. There's barely any fillings. I'm like, we want to give you your money worth. We don't want to rob you, basically. Yes.
And before we sign up, do you want to just tell people where they can find you?
Okay. So this is the address is 4437 Route 42. This is right across from Home Depot or like ShopRite in Monticello, right next to the Taco Bell. So if you like passing by, well, you'll see our sign or like blinking light. So please come on, say hi. We don't bite. So please come by.
Thank you so much to Aga and Laser at Rugalach Heimisha in Monticello for showing us around. It was such a fun way to start the morning. Up next, you know what time it is? This week's Star Talk Report from Keith Hubbard.
For Farm and Country, I'm Keith Hubbard, and this is Star Talk. One of the best meteor showers of the year will grace the sky this weekend. The Geminid meteor shower will peak tonight and tomorrow night. The Geminids are considered one of the best showers because the meteors are bright and many meteors can be seen at the peak. The parent body of the Geminids is unique in that it is an asteroid. The parent body of all other meteor showers is a comet. The source of the Geminids is a 3-mile-wide rocky object named 3200 Phaethon. Phaethon originates from the asteroid belt, and every 1.4 years, it swings very close to the Sun. Phaethon's orbit brings it well inside the orbit of Mercury, and the heat from the Sun fractures the rock, producing a stream of dust. This dust then enters Earth's atmosphere and burns up as meteors. The Geminids radiate from the constellation Gemini. Gemini will be in the sky all night and will be highest in the sky around 2 a.m. The meteors from this shower will be few and far between in the early evening, but will intensify as evening gives way to late night. On a night with no moon, observers could see upward of 60 meteors per hour. The Geminids tend to be bright and white and can be seen across the sky. The waning crescent moon will rise after 2 a.m. and will not interfere with the shower. Bundle up and then look up to watch one of the more spectacular meteor showers of the year tonight and tomorrow night. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for future Star Talk segments, my email address is startalk@farmandcountry.org. For Farm and Country and Star Talk, this has been Keith Hubbard reminding you to keep looking up.
Thank you to Keith for that report. Up next, we head south of Route 97 to Berryville, where the Outside Institute is gearing up for the winter months ahead. The Outside Institute offers nature walks, foraging education, workshops, and more. And this month, their retail store is open on Saturdays in December. Here's Laura Chavez-Silverman on how to find holiday cheer at the Outside Institute.
My name is Laura Chavez-Silverman. I'm the founding naturalist of the Outside Institute, and we're founded here in Sullivan County in 2017, essentially out of a desire to help people reconnect to the land in meaningful ways and connect to the healing and transformative powers of nature through really knowing the plants and animals, trees and insects, stones and mountains and rivers that share this land with us. Yeah, and I've had a couple of indoor spaces. Finally, I decided that I needed a place for people to gather. And so I had a shop in Calicoon for a couple of years, and I closed that last year. And this past May, I opened a space in Berryville that's less of a retail store and more of just a studio and a workshop space, and I hold classes and gatherings here. Haven't done a ton of that this year because I'm working on a book, so I'm excited that I'm open every Saturday leading up to Christmas in December from 11 to 4, and I'm inviting people in. I have a little tightly edited shop of books and our field guides and some wildcrafted provisions. I have some medicinal mushroom tinctures, and it's also just a fun space for adults and kids to come and visit. I have a tray of specimens here that people can look at, you know, nests and feathers and skulls and bones. And I have a library of books that people are welcome to check out. And I do always serve wildcrafted refreshments with seasonal wild flavors.
I mean, wow. So y'all have been doing a lot over the last few years. And even though you've moved to Berryville somewhat recently, you've been in this work for some time. I'm curious, just you work with, you know, both kids and adults. I'm curious just what people get excited about when you think about your collection of offerings.
I mean, you know, the main offering that I give is taking people onto the land, and people get very excited to a person, like of all ages. When people get outside and start to learn the story of the flowers and bugs and birds and trees that we see daily, but sometimes don't really see, if you take my meaning, we are taking things in without really getting close to them and knowing them and knowing how to name them and to really come into a more intimate kind of relationship with these things is very uplifting and very grounding for people at the same time, and really gives them a sense of who they are, helps them, as Mary Oliver says, find their place in the family of things.
We're entering the winter months. We just had a big winter storm last week. What are some of the things that excite you during this time of year?
Well, I just put a winter walk on our calendar. I'm going to lead a walk on Sunday, December 21st at 10 a.m., which is the exact time of the winter solstice. And that's a wonderful moment to take a little bit of a pause and reflect on, you know, what it means to be in the shortest day of the year, what it means to welcome in winter, and, you know, take the time to really sink into the silence and the reflection that winter offers us. I like to walk in the winter landscape. It gives me a chance to practice identifying trees by the bark. I like to see the signs of animal life in the tracks and the snow, and to also just think about everything that's going on underground at this time, and to cultivate my own sense of inner reflection. Yeah.
Winter, the winter months are an especially special time for the Institute because you're open every Saturday. every Saturday in December. Tell me a little bit more about what folks can expect during the weekends.
Well, I'm just here from 11 to 4 on Saturday, and when you come in, of course, I offer you something warm to drink. I have, in addition to the Kanuchi hickory nut milk, I have mulled cider, and I have crabapple toddies with or without crabapple-infused whiskey. And sometimes I have my cacao shell tea to offer. You can have a little cookie of the season that I'll be having. And in my shop, I have my famous handmade sea salt caramels, and of course our field guides that we produce. People can shop for special little gifts. I have Palo Santo scented candles and jewelry inspired by nature, and there's games here that kids can look through, and kids books, and plenty of books for adults to be interested in. Two people today sent me an article from the New York Times about some people that had a whole bunch of people that had eaten death cap mushrooms in California. One person had died, and several had severe liver damage. So I always take that as an opportunity to invite people to look through all the mushroom field guides I have here and talk to me about mushrooms. I often tell people they can bring any mushrooms they find in here for help with identification purposes. More and more people are interested in getting out in nature, and it's important to understand the parameters for safety and, you know, what you need to know if you want to really be a happy citizen of the land.
Can we look around the store a little bit? Sure. If you want to show me.
So I have a selection of books here. This Living Upriver book is by a local author, Barbara DeVries, and she documents homes from people in this area, including my home, which is in here. I have this wonderful cocktail book by Danny Child, Slow Drinks, that's all about using local botanicals to make infused alcohol and other kinds of elixirs and things. I have some wonderful mushroom field guides. I have a book on healing Lyme disease. I have some of my favorite vintage books. This one on tracks and trailcraft is fantastic. I have a few copies. I have Stokes Nature Guides to Nature in Winter, which is very, you know, relevant right now. And I have this wonderful little Haudenosaunee Thanksgiving address, which is an invocation that the indigenous peoples use every time they gather together. And it's really special. I have over here are hand lenses. So for budding naturalists or anyone that wants to get out in the field and get a little bit of closer look, you can use this lens to look at plants or the underside of fungi or whatever close up. I have a bunch of other vintage field guides about plants and mushrooms. This is amazing. How to Know the Grasshoppers is all about insects. I have these fabulous little rechargeable lamps in the shape of mushrooms. I have a few of my favorite candles in, you know, nature-themed scents. I have some beautiful jewelry, some feather earrings. I've got my tick products, the ultimate tick removal tool and a tick kit for treating tick bites, which
important for this area.
Everybody needs that. And I have some wildcrafted products that I make, our wild mushroom salt and a campfire salt. I've got a bunch of tinctures. I've got my black walnut bitters that I've been offering to the community for quite a few years now. And as you can see, everything is kind of appointed with different finds from nature. I have wasp's nests and vireo nests and a full turkey tail and all kinds of a big piece of chaga mushroom. I have a mushroom and lichen wreath that's wonderful for the holidays.
Mm, so beautiful. And as you think about the Outside Institute for the next few months, is there anything else that you want to lift up about what folks can expect?
I think we might have one or two spots left. We are doing a retreat in Mallorca. I'm partnering with a friend of mine who lives there, and we're doing a wonderful week-long journey. It's called a nature, craft, and culture immersion on this beautiful Mediterranean island, where we're going to introduce people to sort of a different ecosystem. And so that's something new for me. We're considering doing another one in the Catskills next fall. So perhaps we'll be doing some different journeys in different parts of the world going forward. Aside from the walk on the solstice, I don't really have anything else on the books. I usually go away myself for about 6 weeks in the winter. So our first event coming back is usually late February or early March. We partner with Smoky Bells to do a maple tapping event.
Thank you to Laura. You can find her on Fridays from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at 3344 Route 97 in Berryville. A few things before we sign off for the day from our community calendar as we head into the weekend. This Thursday, December 18th, from 11 a.m. to 12:15 p.m., Penn State Extension will host a webinar on fireflies. The webinar explores the biology, life cycle, and diversity of these popular glowing beetles, whose numbers are declining in Pennsylvania and elsewhere. And don't forget that there are tons and tons of holiday fairs and craft makers markets this weekend. Shop local when and where you can. You can find more information on where these holiday markets are and when they're happening in your area on our website at wjffradio.org. That's all for this Saturday's show. This show was produced by the Radio Catskill editorial team and post-production by Ronald Kelson. Stick around. Up next, it's Catskill Character. You're listening to Radio Catskill. Local news, culture, NPR. I'll catch you next week.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from Morgan Outdoors, celebrating 20 years as a local source for hiking, snowshoeing, and discovering the great outdoors. On Main Street in Hurleyville, near the rail trail, morgan-outdoors.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Donna Fellenberg, host of Catskill Character. I wanted to take a minute to wish all of you a happy holiday season and to thank you, the listeners, for tuning in all year long. Let's have a peaceful holiday and hope for good things to come in the new year, in your life and here at WJFF.